Galatians chapter 1. And I'll read just a few verses. No doubt familiar to everyone here. It's been mentioned enough, read several many times. Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writing to the believers at Galatia, in verse 6, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him. I want us all to take notice of that.
Yes, sir.
I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel. Now we might say, well, simply because they have moved away from that gospel Paul preached, then he simply said you moved away from him. But simply moving away from the gospel is to move away from God. And that's certainly so, but that's not really what Paul's saying. He's saying in turning from the gospel, you have turned from God himself.
Exactly.
This is not just a way of thinking.
Yeah.
This is not just another theory among several theories. You've heard the phrase, we're all on the, there's many different roads to heaven. That's what, we're all going to heaven, there's just many different roads. There is not.
Yeah.
You know, there is not. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
All other religion is sin against God. Exactly. It's not just another religion. It's not just a different way of looking at things. It's sin against God.
Exactly.
And Paul tells these believers now, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which, Paul is quick to add, which is not another. You see, that's what I've just said, right?
Yeah.
It's not another. It's not an alternative.
Exactly.
You know, we have it today. They've termed it, what is an alternative lifestyle. Basically, they say that when it's a lifestyle that's condemned of God, but they want you to keep your mouth shut about it.
Yeah.
No matter what it is.
Yeah.
It's simply that which they know God's Word condemns, but they want you to keep your mouth shut about it.
Yep.
That's called an alternative lifestyle. Yeah. A different gospel. Paul says there is no other, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert. That's the problem right there.
Exactly.
And would pervert the gospel of Christ. You see, there's not another gospel. There are people who take the gospel and then pervert it. They twist it.
That's right.
They lie about it. Some people take the truth and turn that truth into a lie.
Exactly.
Jude, wasn't it, spoke of some who take God's grace and turn it into lasciviousness. They use God's grace as a reason, as a permission to fulfill their own ungodly lusts. In other words, since God saves sinners, I'll just be the worst one I can be. You know what I mean? God's grace is for sinners, so I'll just enjoy sin all I can. There's some people like that.
You're right.
Baptist churches are full of them.
Yeah.
That's right. They've come forward. They've made the profession of faith. They live however they well please. They have no thought of Christ, no thought of His gospel, no thought of His people. What they think about is having fun. I know, I've been there. I was one of them at one time. They make their profession. They live the way they want. And they think because of some profession, some little act they did in getting saved, they think they're all right. Paul says, this other gospel that you've turned to, that I marvel that you've turned to, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And here's the amazing. Now, it's one thing. There are times when I have these thoughts. Well, God's ordained it so. And He has.
Yeah.
Right? Those same people I mentioned that Jude talks about. You know what Jude says also about them, don't you? That God before of old ordained them to this condemnation.
Yes, sir.
Right?
That's right.
But I found my mind, and it's the mind of the flesh.
Yeah.
I found my mind saying, well, then since God ordained it so, then so be it. Just That's the way it ought to be. You know, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
But it ain't the way it ought to be.
Exactly. That's it.
That's the way it is, but that ain't the way it ought to be. And because of the way it is, does not excuse men. Look, but though we, and he includes himself, that includes me. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. What's that next phrase?
Yeah.
Let him be accursed.
Amen.
As we have said before, so say I now again, if any, and it's not man, it's not there. You see it's in italics, it's not there. If any preach any, it's not man. Well, he'd have said if me and any other man or what else? An angel from heaven. Well, folks, there are some people who think if they have some kind of vision, that's proof. Right? If they have some kind of dream, that, they don't care what God's word says. I had this dream.
Exactly.
This angel came and spoke to me. If this messenger, whether it's a person, a human, or whether it's an angel, or whether it's a jackass,
yeah.
A jackass spoke one time in Scripture, right?
Yes, it did.
Or whether it's a jackass, if they don't speak according to the word, they don't speak according to the law and the prophets, it's because there is no truth in them. He says it again. I say, as we said before, so say I now again. If any preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Paul was quite serious about this thing of the gospel. Wasn't he? He's quite serious about this.
Yes, sir.
The Apostle Paul was not of the ilk. We're all simply trying to get to heaven.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, let me just say that's a blatant lie because not everybody's trying to get to heaven. Well, not everybody even believes in heaven. Right? But there are some people, as a matter of fact, the majority of people who believe in heaven won't get there. Right? That's what the book also teaches.
Yes, sir.
There are many people who expect to enter into the kingdom. And they're not going to be allowed to enter into the kingdom.
Exactly.
I've heard Calvinists, that's grace men, grace people. You know, and we all, I have to include myself, we all sometimes get a little gun shy. Rather than just speaking the word of God in truth, we get a little gun shy. Don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they'll tell you, you hurt my feelings. I've had that done to me right here. You hurt my feelings. I've had it said before you didn't even get out the door. You hurt my feelings. Now, thank God, usually I don't tell them what I would just as soon tell them. You know, you just try to take it, state what you stated again, and if God gives them the eyes to see it. If they don't, they don't. But going back, the Apostle Paul sees this thing of the gospel as vital, so much so that if somebody preaches any other gospel, let them go to hell.
Exactly.
You know what he said?
Amen.
Let them go to hell. Now, as I'll say, most people, the majority, I should say, of people who want to go to heaven won't make it to heaven.
That's right.
And I've heard these grace people say, well, everyone that wants to go to heaven can. But that's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Our Lord himself said there are going to come many knocking in that day and say, Lord, Lord. They're going to expect to enter in, and God the Son is going to say no.
Exactly.
Right? Depart from me. Not, there's not going to be any sense of remorse on the Lord's part.
No, sir.
There won't be any, you came so close, but it's so sad. It will be a resounding, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never did know you.
Amen.
I don't care what you knew.
Yeah.
I don't care what you've done.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
He doesn't rebuke what they've known or done. He just says, you depart from me, I didn't know you.
Exactly.
Part of me says, that ain't fair. You know that? Here's the people that said, we preached in your name.
Yeah.
We cast out devils. And that's helping other people.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You don't cast devil out of yourself.
No.
You know, if you have the power to cast the devil out of yourself, you had the power to keep him out to start with.
Yeah.
You know? You don't need to be, you know, you don't, no one heals their self, you know. We've cast out, we've done many wonderful works, and it's all, what? In your name. He doesn't say, well, you didn't know the right Christ. Some of these people may have been Calvinistic. Well, it says many, right? Evidently, Mason, that includes the whole lot of us. Arminian and Calvinistic. Free will, free grace. Right? The majority of folks that expect to make it ain't going to make it.
Exactly.
Many are called. What's Scripture say?
Yeah.
Few are chosen.
Amen.
Now, when I say that's scary, bless God, I mean that's scary.
Yes, sir.
You know? Now, whether that applies to this group, I hope not.
Yeah.
You know what? You understand what I'm saying? I hope that this group happens to be a group of those called out from among the many. You know what I'm saying? But like Henry Mahan said one time, it kind of startled me. But you know, he's telling the truth. He said, even our Lord had 12 direct followers. Immediate followers. And one of them was a devil.
Yeah.
Right? He said, I don't figure we got any better odds than our Lord did. Now he used the word. But you understand what I'm saying? And I thought about that. You know? That's amazing to think of. No, the Apostle Paul, seeing this thing of the gospel as, well, let me just put it. The Apostle Paul was absolutely, unequivocally narrow-minded when it comes to the gospel.
Amen.
There is no place of compromise.
Exactly.
Look at what he says in chapter 2. Right? About these people, verse 4, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily, that is privately, to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they may bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour.
Amen.
That the what? That the truth of the what? Gospel might continue with you.
Amen.
I would venture to say that this morning, outside of one other day, that's the day we call Christmas Day, I would say that this day, along with that day called Christmas Day, Easter Day, Easter Sunday, and Christmas Day, whether it falls on Sunday or not, is probably two of the days out of all the days on the calendar in which the words, the phrase, the gospel is probably mentioned more than any other time on the calendar. I turned on the radio this morning just to hear how many times it would be said. And as I began to hear even the first person speak, I thought there's no need to even try to keep count.
Yeah.
Because it's constantly the gospel this, the gospel that, the gospel here, the gospel there, this the gospel, that's the gospel. And like Henry Mayhead one time says, all these people said, give us money so we can preach the gospel, but they never seem to get around to preaching the gospel.
Exactly.
They're always asking for the money to preach the gospel, but you never hear them preaching the gospel. After a while, they at least ought to have enough to start preaching the gospel. But they never do.
Exactly.
And then some people try to preach the gospel and they'd have been better off just kept their mouth shut.
Exactly.
You know, you ever heard somebody say, well, that's the gospel truth. Well, they may be talking about carpentry.
Yeah.
And they'll say, that's the gospel truth.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know what they're saying? That's the truth unequivocally. You know, that's the truth. That's the way it is. Mm-hmm. It shows how flippant men are with that phrase, the gospel. Well, you've heard somebody, well, they'll tell you something. They'll say, well, that's the gospel. And I'm thinking, no, it's not. You know? You're talking about digging a ditch and you hit a rock.
Yeah.
That's the gospel. Men try to use that phrase to try to say, see, I'm not lying to you.
Yeah.
But there are some people that lie to us. The Apostle Paul said, there are some here, they pervert the gospel of Christ.
Exactly.
They're preaching a gospel. But it's not God's gospel. It's a perversion of the gospel. And here's another one. And I thought about this morning, what am I going to title this? And I don't even know this is a good title. Because I'm going to talk about that some, but that's not what the whole message is about. But and Ellen, you mentioned it, the gospel offer. Have you ever heard that? People preach that all the time. They talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
The gospel offer. And I've never found that yet. I've heard it said the gospel offer, or I've heard God offers you the gospel. And then I think, well, it's not the statement's never in Scripture, but the statement don't have to necessarily, Joe, be in Scripture. You know? The word rapture is not in Scripture. It's not in. It's never translated such in the King James Version. I don't know if it's translated that way in any version. I don't know. It may be. But the truth of the rapture is still in Scripture.
Yes, sir.
But when men talk about a gospel offer, it's not in the Scripture.
Exactly.
The gospel is not an offer. God don't offer man anything.
Amen.
And then some dummy. That's what they are. They're dummies. Now, they may be one of God's. They may be God's dummy, but it still don't mean they're not a dummy. Mm-hmm. You know? Somebody said, well, I've said that. Well, hopefully God will forgive you of it. You know?
Exactly.
You got these dummies out there. Talk about gospel offer. Well, our Lord said, you know, if any man hunger and thirst after righteousness, let him come unto me. That's not an offer.
No.
That's a command.
That's right.
You know?
Exactly.
Like Joe said about the Ten Commandments, they are that. They're the Ten Commandments. They're not the Ten Suggestions.
Exactly.
And God's gospel is not God's offer. It is God's gospel. It's God's good news.
Yes.
I mean, the Apostle Paul puts it that way. Just as a starting point, Romans 15, verse 16, verse 19, verse 29, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 12, verse 18. And you can go on down through other passages. The Apostle Paul talks about it this way. He calls it the gospel of God.
Yes.
Now that, he's talking about a specific meaning there. Every writer in Scripture, when they write words, they have specific meaning behind those words. They didn't just write words in some trance and then it's up to us to try to, well, that sounds good if it means this.
Exactly.
They knew exactly what they were trying to say. The Holy Spirit supplied the words to put forth that meaning to us in black and white.
Yes.
We have it translated for us into English. The Apostle Paul calls it the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, mainly, primarily because it's about Him.
Yes.
Him, God, in Christ. As the Apostle Paul puts it, as God willing, we will see a little later, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 7 mainly. It is called the gospel of Christ, but it's said where the glory of God is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. That is, I see God in Christ. And that's the only way I'll ever see God, is in Christ. As a matter of fact, some people say, well, there's going to be a bunch of people, Revelation chapter 20, a bunch of people see God. No, they won't see God. They'll see the judge.
That's right.
That's all they'll see is the judge.
Exactly.
He sits on that great white throne as a judge because it says there was no place found for them.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I hope when I get there, I'll be one of the lucky number. Well, if you get there, you won't be one of the lucky number. And besides, it had nothing to do with luck. As a matter of fact, let me just go so far as to say it's not even about fairness. God's gospel has nothing to do with fairness. God is not fair. God is just.
Amen. That's it.
Now, folks, that's it. Find me where God says I'm fair.
That's it.
Huh?
It
does say, shall not the judge of the earth do right? You know what he did? You know what he did?
Yeah.
Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Yeah, he saved three people. He turned the fourth one into a pillar of salt, and he burnt the rest with fire.
Amen.
Right?
That's it.
That was God's answer to doing right.
Yeah.
He spared three. He turned one, the fourth one into a pillar of salt, and he burned the rest of them up with fire. And the three he spared ended up going into a cave and committing incest. Now go figure.
Yeah.
This ain't nothing about fairness. This is about God Almighty doing what He wants to do with His creation. I thought about it, and it's hit me just the past month or so. It has hit me even harder and further than it's ever hit me before, that our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased.
Amen.
And I can think, okay, yeah, so He does what we think He ought to do. He's fair. You see. This is how it has to be done, because it's the only way my reason can lay hold of that. And I find out that God, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Amen.
My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are far above your thoughts.
Yes.
As the heavens are above the lower parts, that's how high my thoughts are above your parts.
Exactly.
You see, the gospel is good news to some people. And it's not good news to other people.
Exactly. That's it.
See, the very phrase, the good news, it is good news to some folk. It ain't good news to all folk.
Exactly.
You see, when you tell the masses that God Almighty sent His Son into this world to save His people from their sins, mm-hmm. that's not good news to everybody, because everybody, not everybody, they're not all His people. According to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, and I'll not read it, but he puts the gospel, he states the gospel this way, it is the gospel of the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
It is the gospel of the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me say, I've already mentioned it, but let me say again before I go any further, because my time is short. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 and verse 9. We'll see that primarily, when we talk about the gospel, if we want to sum up the gospel, what is the gospel? Okay? What is the gospel? According to the Apostle Paul, it is the gospel of God concerning His Son.
Amen.
And let me just read that. Romans chapter 1, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, and then pass up the parentheses, separated under the gospel of God concerning His Son. Now this gospel, he says just prior to that, is the one that He promised, that's in verse 2, the one that He promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Right?
Yes, sir.
But it is the gospel of God concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Right? Then he says in verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son. Now, if you're preaching a gospel of grace, but it doesn't have the Son as the message, it's that perverted gospel. Right? Because it's the gospel of God concerning His Son. You can preach all day long about depravity and still not be preaching the gospel. You know that? Now, you know, it is a blessing to hear. And it's a faithful saying. It's still a faithful saying. And it is still worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That's what we need to hear. That is good news. But the good news part of it is this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save. That's the good news part. The fact that I'm a sinner ain't good news. That ain't good news. There's some people that talk about the 5 points of Calvinism as though that's the gospel.
Oh yeah.
Well, the first one of it, total depravity, ain't no gospel at all.
No.
To hear that you are totally depraved ain't good news.
Exactly.
And to hear that Jesus Christ just redeems some folk, that may not necessarily be good news.
Exactly.
You know that?
Yeah.
Unless I know I err one. Huh? That don't help me a whole lot, does it? Well, how does somebody know that? How can they know if you don't tell them? It ain't up to me to tell them. I'm to tell them what Jesus Christ has done. Not which individuals they are that He's done it for. You see, believing Christ is not believing the historical facts that He did come, that He did suffer, that He did die, that He was buried, that He was raised, ascended, and sat down. You can believe that all day long. You ain't believed nothing yet. Believing the gospel is to believe the record God gave His Son. He done something.
Yes, sir.
That's the gospel. The gospel is this. It's called, Romans 10, verse 15, it's called the gospel of peace.
Yes.
Now, the good news is not, now you can make peace with God. People are preaching that. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You need to make your peace with God. Well, if you know what you are, that's a scary thought.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I mean, when somebody tells somebody like me, you need to make your peace with God, I'm thinking, I can't even get started to make my peace with God.
Exactly, that's it.
The first thing I got to do to make peace with God is to have my blood shed, and it to be done so righteously.
Yeah.
I've got to be able to offer a death and blood in that death for every sin I've ever committed.
Yeah.
The problem is, I can only do that at best, David, one time. Right? I can only do that one time. See, God Almighty doesn't say the soul that asks for forgiveness, it shall be for forgiven. Does it? You know that? It doesn't teach that.
You're right.
Scripture is what the Scripture teaches. The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Amen.
Death's going to happen somewhere. Every sin has to have a death accompanying it. Mm-hmm. It must. Think about it. And remember, we're given an illustration of this. It is an earthly example so that we, even when enlightened by the Spirit, we're still so blessed dull.
Yeah.
That we often have to have some kind of earthly example, David, to be able to relate to God's spiritual truth. You know, we're so dull. Well, God did give us one. He gave us several, but here's one. You remember that plague in Egypt? Matter of fact, it was the last one. Where God Almighty said that you kill a lamb. And this lamb was to be a specific kind of lamb.
Yes, sir.
You know, it couldn't just be any old lamb. See, that's the problem. I can't shed my blood for my own sin because I'm not a fit lamb.
Exactly.
I'm not a fit sacrifice. My blood is not a fit atonement. It had to be a certain kind of lamb. It had to be a lamb without spot and without blemish.
Yeah.
Okay? And that lamb was put to death. And its blood was taken and put on the doorposts, two sides, and on the lintel above it. And God said, when I pass through Egypt this night, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Right? Now somebody said, boy, and poor old Egyptians, death happened in their house. Death happened in them Israelites' houses too.
That's right.
That lamb had to die. If that lamb didn't die, the firstborn in that house is going to die.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this right now. If that lamb died, that blood was applied. And if that blood was applied, they couldn't nobody in that house die that night.
That's right.
You know that?
Exactly.
They couldn't nobody. That firstborn, that firstborn in that house could not die that night.
Yeah.
Why? Because the blood was there. You see, God Almighty did not let death go. Death was carried out.
That's right.
Something had to die.
Yes.
And if a suitable sacrifice died, God passed over.
That's
you
right.
See, that's my only hope. My only hope is that when Jesus Christ died, He died for me.
Yes.
My only hope is this. Not somebody said, well, to get to heaven. No, my hope of anything when it comes to God Almighty, other than Him saying, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. My only hope is that when Jesus Christ shed His blood, He shed His blood for me. Now by His grace, through His word, I believe Jesus Christ did that.
Yes, sir.
I believe that when He shed His blood, He saved some people. Not that He made it possible for them to be saved. Not that they can be saved if. I believe that when He died on that cross, He saved some folk.
Amen.
That's what believing is. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Do you really believe that? I don't mean you accept the facts. I mean you believe it. It's affected your thoughts. It's affected who you are and where your loyalties lie.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you how good you are. You ain't going to be good. I'm not asking you how righteous you are. You can't be. You know, you can't be.
Exactly.
As Earl used to say, when he first said it, it kind of upset me a little, but I knew he was right. I knew he was right even when he said it. I didn't necessarily like it. I come to like it more and more, but there's still a part of me that doesn't like it. He said, we don't come here to congratulate one another on how good we are. As a matter of fact, if we talk about ourselves, we have to talk about that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight.
Amen.
That's why I like talking more about Christ than I do about you. He's a far superior subject than you.
Exactly.
He's a far superior subject than me.
Yes.
It is the gospel of peace. And according to the Apostle Paul, look what he said. Here's the thing. Do we believe this? That's the question. Everybody talk about faith. Oh, I believe God. I believe it. You know, they believe everything and they hold nothing.
Yeah.
You know? They believe every lie that comes down the pike, but they despise the truth.
Exactly.
You know? Here's what Paul says about this thing of peace and the gospel. Look at it. Verse 11 of Ephesians 2. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made with hands. Paul is talking to Gentiles. Joey's talking to a group of them dogs.
Yes,
like he called that one woman, dogs.
That's right.
You're not of that select race.
Yeah.
Now, beloved, there is a select race. A select human race.
Yeah.
They're called Jews. They're called Hebrews. But there is a select people in this world too.
Yes, sir.
Huh? There's a select people, and it's made up of both Jews and Gentiles. But anyway, he's talking to these Gentiles. You're a bunch of Gentiles, and you're called uncircumcision by these Jews.
Yeah.
Okay? Look, verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And let me tell you, there's a sense in which God brings every one of his people to taste that.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? He'll bring you to know, this is true of me.
Yeah.
I am without Christ. In me.
Yeah.
Now, we're not talking about trying to figure out God's sovereign elective purposes. In me, as I am, I'm without Christ. I'm without hope. I'm in the world. I'm a stranger from the covenants of promise. I deserve none of these things. As a matter of fact, what I deserve is the opposite of all these things.
Yeah.
And there's a sense in which God will bring every one of his people to know this.
Yes, sir.
But look at what it says. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, look at that, by your profession of faith,
yes, sir.
By your coming forward, by your prayer, by your belief, by your faith. Is that how we were made nigh? What are we to believe? We're not to believe that our believing makes us nigh. We're to believe that his blood made us nigh. You see that? But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, the free willer, the person who tries to always lay this thing of responsibility of salvation back on man, and try to deny God the glory, they'll say, now what that means is you've got to do something to get the blood of Christ to apply to you. Well, you can't. That blood was shed one time. Once, according to Hebrews, once forever. And that was 2,000 years ago. You can't touch that blood.
Exactly.
There ain't nothing you and I can do about that blood.
That's right.
That blood either already made peace or it did not.
Amen.
And the fact is, believing God is to believe it did make peace. Look, that's not my opinion. It says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, that's the Jew and the Gentile, has made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the twain one new man, so making peace. Is that not what that says?
Yeah.
So when was peace made?
Yeah.
In his flesh. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what that just says?
Yes, sir.
Now, do you believe you can make peace with God, or do you believe Christ made peace with God?
Exactly.
That's two different gospels.
That's right.
One is the gospel. The other is a perversion of the gospel. Right? See, both of them talk about peace. Both of them talk about Christ being a part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Both of them talk about peace for man. Right? And peace with God among men. But one of them says Christ did it. The other says man can do it.
Yeah. That's it.
Look, let's go on. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. How? Well, just turn your life over to Jesus. Huh? And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and done what? Did it say he offered peace? He came and what? Preached peace. You see, that's what I'm preaching this morning. It's not that peace can be had. I'm preaching that peace has been had.
Amen.
It's been made. It's done. As one preacher said, it's done. It's done. The great transaction is done. The covenant has been sealed with the blood of Christ. Peace has been made. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that? It says, and he came and preached peace to you that were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That's why it's called the gospel of his Son. See, it basically has to do with this. Jesus Christ did it all, and I can't do anything.
Exactly.
You see, I can't believe enough to get God to save me.
Exactly.
Because the truth is, compared to my rebellion, my unbelief, probably, if it was put on a scale, I'm afraid my unbelief would not even compare. My unbelief would far outweigh my belief. The very fact I have to repent proves that. But even my repentance don't cut it. You know that? As a matter of fact, you remember one old boy, he sought that carefully with tears, didn't he? Esau sought repentance carefully with tears, and he couldn't find it.
Amen.
Well, everybody that wants to go to heaven can. No, they won't. You see, only a select few will get to go there. And somebody said, but why is that so? Because God willed it so.
That's it.
You see, the truth is, God willed to save one. And sitting right beside that, laying in the same bed, what the book says.
Yes, sir.
Laying in the same bed, standing in the same field, God will save one and God will damn the other.
That's what it says.
Didn't it say that?
Yes, sir.
It said with two in the field. One's going to be taken. Taken.
Yeah.
The other one will be what?
Left.
It doesn't say he can't take. It doesn't say he'll take one, he can't take the other.
No.
Ain't what it says. Now, yes, man would love it to say that. That ain't what it says. It says one will be taken, the other one will be what? Left. Two people will be sleeping in the same bed. One's going to be what? Taken. The other one's going to be what? Left. You know, right there's election, David, and I never even seen it before.
That's it.
You know what? Right? Taken and left.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, well, it's not in the Bible much. It's all over the Bible. It starts in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
It starts. The first word of hope is election in the Son.
Yes, sir.
You know that? The first word of promise, the first word of hope. Well, let's read that. The first one. Just as soon as they fail. I don't know exactly what time Mason transpired, but they were still naked to start with, and they realized their nakedness, and they made themselves coats of leaves, you know, leaves, aprons of leaves. That didn't cut it. It may have covered their nakedness between themselves, but God still knew they were naked. And see, that's the weird thing.
Yeah.
God knew they were still naked even though they had clothes on.
Yeah.
You see, God don't think, well, I got clothes on. God says, no, you don't. Well, right, here they are. God said, I can't see them.
Yeah.
Right? And somebody said, well, that's not fair. God ain't worried about fair. He's worried about him.
Yeah.
His glory, his honor, his justice is all that matters, not me. Here they are standing in their fig leaf aprons, and God says it ain't enough.
That's it.
As far as I'm concerned, you're still naked.
Yeah.
And look, here's the first one. I better turn to the right one. I was in chapter 4. That ain't too sweet there.
Yeah.
Chapter 3. There we go. Look what it says, verse 14, and the Lord God, that's of Genesis 3, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I Do you see that? Listen. And I will put enmity.
Yes.
This ain't just the way it had to be. This is what God Almighty willed to be done. I have something to say about that later on.
Yes, sir.
About God's will. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Right here, God made clear. Now, God didn't make the distinction here. He made clear testimony to a distinction amongst the inhabitants of the earth. There's those the seed of the woman, and there's those that are seed of the serpent.
That's right.
And look, what happens? Two boys are born.
Yeah.
Right? One is called Abel, one is called Cain. God has respect unto Abel and his offering. Note it.
Yeah.
Not unto Abel's offering. But unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, neither one. God didn't have respect.
That's right.
Cain didn't like that. Let me tell you, religion still don't like it when God respects one above another. Well, God's no respecter of persons. You have no idea what God's talking about.
That's exactly.
As long as you're in rebellion against God.
That's exactly right.
Right here he did. He chose one and did not choose the other. And the one he didn't choose raised up with hatred and killed the one he chose. And what did God say through the prophet about Cain?
Yeah.
Cain, who slew his brother, was of the what? Wicked one.
That's right.
He was the seed of the serpent.
Yes,
Abel was of the seed of the woman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And after Cain kills Abel, what does God do? Does God run after Cain? Try to bring Cain into the fold?
Not exactly.
Adam and Eve come together. And you know what Eve says? Let me read it. Look at what she says. I'll find it. Okay, here it is. Look at it. Chapter 4, verse 25. This is after Cain slew Abel. Remember, as we read on in the book, it tells us Cain was of the wicked one. Cain was of the devil. Abel, according to Hebrews 11, was of God, was he not? Look at what it says, verse 25, Genesis 4. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel.
Amen.
Whom Cain slew. You see that?
Yes, sir.
All right, here's the next boy God chose. And there it is, right down the line. Somebody says, that ain't fair. You're exactly right. That ain't fair. It ain't fair. It's grace. That's why it's called the gospel of grace. Somebody says, sounds like to me, I'm just kind of back in the corner and it's all up to God. Now, you're getting somewhere if that's what you really know.
Yeah, that's it.
If you really, truly know that, you're getting somewhere now.
Yes, sir.
As long as you're out there and you think you can come forward and pray some prayer and believe enough and repent enough and straighten up your life enough to get God to take notice of you, you're on the outside. Just wishing you can be in. But when you're on the outside and you know you don't have, not only do you not have a right to be on the inside, but there's nothing you can do to even start to get on the inside, you might just get on the inside one day. Matter of fact, you might already be there and don't even know it. Huh? Like old Donald Ray Barnhouse said one time, he said, generally speaking, most people are saved long before they ever really know it.
Exactly.
And I say to a man like that, amen, brother, go ahead and preach it.
That's right.
Because most folks wouldn't say that. They wouldn't say that. No, that ain't the gospel. Let me tell you, that is the gospel.
Yes, sir.
That's right. God's word says it is.
Yes, sir.
Now look. Somebody said, but it don't make sense. Ding, 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 ding. You're getting there. Look. Romans 10, verse 20. But Isaiah, it's talking about Isaiah, is very bold.
Yeah.
You see, people say, but even if that's true, don't say it. If you tell somebody they're one of God's and God's going to save them and you tell them that, they'll just sit back and they won't do nothing. Not if God moves. He'll lay the fire under them and they'll get up and they'll run.
Yes, sir.
Look, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not.
Amen.
Right there it is, brother. Right? I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me.
Amen.
One of these days it just happens.
That's right.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
One of these days it just happens. I remember watching a movie. Now, I'm not vouching for the whole movie by any means. But it's the movie about Alvin York, whom some of you may know of, you may not, but it doesn't really matter. But anyway, his mama, he was pretty much, you know, a roustabout and a drunk, and loved to go around getting drunk and shooting up stuff, and even so much so that he would stop church services with his rowdiness. His mama asked the preacher one time to go talk to him, you know, about the Bible and about his soul. Now, this is on the movie, so I don't know exactly what all happened, but even in the movie, it's not according to modern-day religion. The old preacher got there, and old Alvin starts throwing questions at him. Well, how can this be? So I fought him, preacher. I prayed till I'm blue in the face, and ain't nothing happened. You know what the old preacher said? It'll come one day when you least expect it.
That's right.
Now, see, that's the whole point. That is the way it happens. It is when you least expect it. You see? What's that say? Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I wasn't looking for him.
Yeah, that's it.
Matter of fact, God said you can't. He said there is none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth. There's none that doeth good. They're altogether become unprofitable. Their mouth is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. And on and on and on. We're a pretty bad lot. You know what happens? One day, God Almighty comes along and He arrests that soul. And He says, you have been mine, you are mine, and you shall forever be mine. And I'm going to reveal myself to you.
Yes, sir.
And according to the Apostle Paul, this is a treasure. It is hidden in earthen vessels, but it is a treasure to actually be able to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The fact is, that will change your life.
Yes, sir.
It won't make you righteous, but it'll change your life.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, when you begin to see that, you'll begin to see how unrighteous you really are. Your righteousness will not expand. It will dwindle.
Yeah.
It will get less.